Rav Volbi's Ma'amare Yemei Ratzon, which are essays that he put together having to do with the Yamim Noraim, with Elul and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. What is this sign? Make it bigger? Is that the sign? Make it bigger. Okay.
Yes, make it bigger, please.
Okay. Let's try to make it bigger. Okay. So we are in the middle of this this essay that he wrote for Parashat Ki Teitzei, which is just a few weeks ago. And he titled it Tavati Bi'Ivein Metzula, which is David HaMelech saying that he is drowning in the boats. He's drowning in the mud. It actually comes together with the line of Ba'u Mayim Ad Nafesh, it's a famous line, that the water is getting up to here, he can't survive. And the metaphor over here, as Rav Volbi points out, is David HaMelech is describing how he feels that he is experienced in the past a world that is defined by spirituality and achievement in the spiritual realm. And now he feels like he's being bogged down by everything that the world is throwing at him, whether it's materialism, whether it's things he has to deal with as a king, whatever it is, he feels that he's not able to connect to God in the same way that he used to. Rav Volbi used this nice metaphor of a person who was born in Siberia. So they don't know the fact that life is not supposed to be like a work camp in the freezing cold. But anybody who had a life before that, they do know that, and they miss it, and they feel like they're smothered and drowning in that kind of experience. So Rav Volbi continued that metaphor and said, you know, we live lives that are so defined by materialism, so defined by this world, that we also, we're like born into Siberia. We don't even know that there could be something else. And he continues that today. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. Where is it? Here. He quoted the Midrash that said that at the beginning of time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah was all the way in this world. And then as people sinned, the Shekhinah left the world from one plane to the next until it finally got to the seventh one. And then when Avram Avinu came, he brought it down one, Yitzchak brought it down another. Okay, and it brought the Shekhinah back into the world. So this is what we're up to. Rav Volbi says, Mashamit Paresh kan babiruhu, kizoti akavana alokit, sheikar shechina yeh betachtonim, ein lanu bazeh shum mahalach. Says the idea that the Shechina should be in the lowest world, in our world, we don't understand this. V'lo shayach lishol lam HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotzeh bekach. We're not left wondering why he would want this. That's what he wants. Shukai wa mudei sheish, shukai wa zeh olam shenishtokek HaKadosh Baruch Hu levrato, kemidat va'alai tshukato. Hashem wants to be in our world. However, we don't understand what it means for him to be in the world. And he says, this is apropos of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur coming up, Anu mitkashim b'havanat varim. B'olam gashmi zeh hashrat shechina. In this world, we're going to have hashrat shechina. Harachov hachiloni azeh beit mikdash olam b'lo chet. Well, this secular world is going to be a world without chet, because that's the only way we can imagine the shechina being here. Ilu hayo omrim lanu. הנה יום כיפור ממשמש לבוא, הבה נשתדל שמיום הכיפורים זה, עד יום כיפורים הבא עלינו לטובה, לא נחתה. Somebody would say, we won't sin from this Yom Kippur to the next. היינו תמיים, איך ייתכן לחיות שנה תמימה בלי חית? It's impossible. How can a person live for an entire year without חית? ואפילו יום אחד, איך ייתכן שיהיה בלי חית? You can't even imagine a single day. אין אנחנו מדברים על תביעה למעשה, אבל להאמין שאדם יכול לחיות בלי חית, הלא זה הכרחי. So fine, so we can understand that we personally can't do it. But to believe that a person could do it, that it's conceivable that a person could live a life without chet, that we have to believe. We can't even believe that. We can't even believe that there could be a person on earth. Anytime we hear about big tzaddikim, people that never sin, right? We are immediately cynical. How could it be? It's really just a fraud. It's really just a scam. There's nobody who's really like that. It's impossible for us to imagine that there's a person out there who simply does not care about Gashmiut, who is simply Ruchniu, completely Ruchni. We you know, in the worst case, we take people who dedicate their lives to Ruchniut, and we ascribe all kinds of ulterior evil motives to them, that really they're frauds, and they're in it for the money, or they're in it for the honor, or they're in it for the power, or they're just stupid, they just don't know anything. And it's hard for us to accept the idea that there might be someone out there that simply is completely dedicated to Ruchniut without any interest in Gashmiut. That's very hard for us to accept. And because of that, inenu tzoakim, we don't cry out like David HaMelech did. Because noladnu b'machane kfiya, we were born into a concentration camp. En lanu kol musag me'olam yoter na'ala, me'olam she'ikar shechina nimtzeit. But we don't have an understanding of this. Okay, now, he quotes a Gemara over here, Kedushin pei bet amud bet. Oops, skipped. There I go. I don't know where I went. Hold on. Here we go. Here. Kedushin pei bet amud bet. Tanya Rashba Omer, Miyamai lo ra'iti tzvi kayetz v'ari saval v'shu'al chenvani, v'hemit parnesin shelo b'tzar. Rav Shimon ben Elazar says, I never saw a deer that was had to work hard, that had to run around getting things. Ari Saval and an Ari that was carrying things, or a Shu'al Chenvani. I never saw a weasel who was a grocery store clerk, right? Or who was a money changer. All these animals, they frolic around and they don't have to work a day of their lives. And yet, we believe that these animals are here only for us. They're here to serve us. Vani nivreti l'shameshet koni, and I was created in order to serve God. But Rabbi Shmuel Elazar says, but there's a problem here, because ma elul shalom nivru el shamsheni mit parnesim shalom tzar vani nivreti l'shameshet koni eno din shet parnes below tzar. I don't understand. He says these animals, they were created to serve me, and they don't have to work. I was created to serve God. Why do I have to work? So what happened? Ela shehareyote et maasai vekafachte et parnesati. What happened? Adam Rishon happened, and we had the curse of Bezeat HaPech HaToch HaLechem, that's what he talks about in the next paragraph. And what can we do? That's what happened, and because of that, we have to work hard. And just as an aside, I will mention, we've talked about this before. I was once watching a Haredi documentary. It was a documentary about the future of Israel, and he was talking about how one day the Haredim were going to be a large majority. So there was this reporter who was going around talking to different Rosh Yeshiva about how they viewed the world and what's going to happen in the future when this inevitably happens. And he was talking to one, and this Rosh Yeshiva said, listen, I have nothing against people who have to work, but it's b'diavad, it's not something you should be happy about. And the interviewer said, what do you mean? Why shouldn't you be happy about having to work? He said, because it's a curse. It's a curse. B'zeat apecha toch alechem. Why are you excited? Why are you happy? Why are you proud of the fact that you have to work? It's a curse. It should be something that you don't do willingly. And unfortunately, the reporter, he didn't know Tanakh. So he didn't know what to say. But I know that if I was there, I would know exactly what I would have said. David, what would you have said if you were in that situation? He said, the reason why we don't work, the reason why we refuse to work is because it's a curse. B'zeat HaPecha Toch HaLechem. What's the response to that?
I would say I have a lot to say about this. I think that it's I'm sorry, it's hard for me to be cynical about this. I think that it's a huge problem for the people in Israel. The fact that the Haredi people are not working. I mean, it's,
but if you wanted to respond on a biblical level, it's very
So help me. My mind is it's too late for me.
So he wants to say Bezeat HaPecha Toch HaLechem means that you shouldn't be happy about working.
Right.
Is that the only curse?
I might say that if you don't work, Lo Toch HaLechem.
Fine, that's fine. But I would go even further. Is that the only curse mentioned in the beginning of Bereshit? That's Adam's curse. That's Adam Rishon's curse.
Right, right.
It's Chava's curse.
Be'etzev Tel Banim, yeah.
So right. If you want to avoid curses...
Right. Don't bring so many children to the world.
You should be having children. If that's the answer, if the answer is Hashem gave us these curses, so we're not going to do the things that we were cursed with, then fine, don't work. But also, Be'etzev Tel Banim, you shouldn't be having children. But nobody would say that. So it must be that we have a curse, but we're supposed to do it anyway. So it's not a response. It's not a response to say that B'zeat I'm not going to work. Because that's not how the curse is supposed to work. But unfortunately, the interviewer didn't know Tanakh, so he couldn't say that. Fine. Now he continues and he says, look, I'll give Ravobi credit. Anu smichim k'shapan matzanu parnasa. Look, it's natural. We're happy when we find parnasa. U'pashut etzleinu sh'adam tzarich la'amol 10 shalot bayom u'bavad sh'tiyel o parnasa tova. It's obvious to us that we have to work for 10 hours a day so that we can have a parnasa. U'matzaveinu b'vadai kachu. That's where we are. That's what we live. But that's not the recipe for true life. Rabbi Shimon Elazar said, I think that life should be different. Rabbi Shimon Elazar is not saying, we shouldn't do it. He's just saying it's unfortunate. I wish we could spend more time on spiritual pursuits. The best thing is if you could have a parnasah without tzar. I'll tell you one thing that I find amazing about this. Just think about it. From the religious perspective over here, what are we suggesting? We're saying over here, this is what Avobi is saying, Adam Rishon once sinned, right? Which caused him to become further from God. And because of that, we have to endure a life where we have to spend most of our time doing things that bring us further from God. One way that this could have been resolved is if, Adam Rishon had sinned and Hashem had done something to bring him back closer, but that's not what he did. Because what we learn from this is that the effect of richuk from Hashem, the effect of sin, is richuk from Hashem. It's inevitable. There's nothing you could do about it. If you do something that brings you far from God, then you're going to be far from God. That's what's going to happen. It is the punishment for sin is sin. That's it.
Rabbi, I always understood that the nature of a human change, it's not just it's like something it's forever changing what we are.
I agree. But what's striking is that according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, ideally we should have been able to have the snakes do our work for us, have the lions do our work for us, and we spend our time meditating and learning Torah. That's what the ideal world would have been, but unfortunately we messed it up and this is the world that we live in now. But what's amazing to me about it is that, it wasn't only against Hashem's plan, but it's against his will, and yet that's the world that we live in. It could have been turned around, but it wasn't. We have to deal with the consequences of our actions, essentially. And in this case, the consequences is worst for spirituality, but that's what we have to live with.
Now, it's harder for spirituality. It's the work. It's like just harder, I think.
Right. No, that's definitely an optimistic perspective that I've seen in many places. And this is connected to what you said before, David, about our lives changing or our nature changing. Perhaps the solution or the antidote to Adam's failure is that we simply have to work harder in order to reacquire that spirituality, that connection to Hashem. But it just makes it more difficult that we don't even have a feeling for it. We don't even have a sense of it. And that's what Avobi is catching on to. Im nachkor acharei achatayim shegarmu. You look at all the sins that we do. Nitzarech limnot rov achatayim shanu regilim bahem. V'tikzar hayireya mehechel. We wouldn't even be able to list them. We would just run out of time listing all the sins that we've done. Biram, hachet haklalihu, the general sin is shkia b'gashmiut. What we are involved in is that we have become encompassed, we have drowning in Gashmiut. Oto chomesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu rotze lehashrot, ikar shechinato alav, uniyeh hamarchik ha'ikari v'hamasach hamavdil beininu uvein elokeinu. That chomer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to dwell in, we've kind of drawn it upon ourselves like a cloak and we don't let anything else in. I want to jump ahead a little bit because I thought that it was a really nice mashal on the next page here. Take a look at this. This is really beautiful. Vine, kol ha-Torah, kavanata l'romem otanu me'al l'gashmiut. The whole purpose of the Torah is to give us a chance to get our heads above the water, get our heads above the gashmiut. U'man aseh, gam b'iskenu b'Torah kadosha anu m'shamshim b'gufaniyotenu u'b'gashmiuto kol sha'a b'ketzat nitoram. But the problem is that even when we're learning Torah, we're involved in gashmiut. So he said, I'll tell you what I noticed. When I was on a plane, one time I concentrated, I contemplated the way that it takes off, right? Hama'ato, David, is the liftoff, correct?
Correct.
V'tameiti, ketzad matos anak, im chamesh me'od nosim, v'kol hamat'en, yachol hitromem u'linatek me'akarka. How does the plane take off with so many passengers? It's a big case of metal. How does it take off? V'hinei kishu mamri, u'mevi kol hamonim shalom al hatarim ha'gvoim. What does it do when it wants to take off? It brings all the engines up to the highest speed. Am I right, David? I looked up Torim HaGvoim. That means highest pillars or something. I don't think it was a good, I'm not sure what he means.
I think that he means that to, you know, like in the car, you push the gas with full, you know, you push it down. I mean,
right, he brings the engines to full power.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in the short runway, Yachasit al Masluha Amra'ahu Mitramim Bolebim Hirut Lagova Shalkama Afimetri. Says the plane is able to, in such a short amount of space, to take off because it's going so fast. That's essentially his answer. It goes so fast. Haregam Masakaved Kaze Yacholi Tramim. What we learn from that is that even such a large and heavy thing, you can get it to fly through space. The Chashavti. So he says, if only we were to get involved with Torah with all of our engines, full power, to go as fast as we could with all of the koch that we had, just really dedicate ourselves to it and just go as fast as we could, even on a short runway. Even maybe, may I say it, even in an Elul or an Aseret Yemei Tshuva, we could actually take off. We have engines. We have four engines. Those are our manoim, those are our engines. We get all those engines piping, pumping, then we can also take off. That's his mashal. It was a very nice mashal. What do you guys think of that mashal? You with me? I think it's nice.
I mean, yeah. It's pretty old. It's a little bit oldie, you know, to be excited from a plane. You know, now we're talking about, you know, it's like you wrote it before. What time? I missed the beginning. What date, what year he wrote this book?
This one is Tavshin Lamed Zayin, I think.
I mean, it's after we got into the moon already. I mean,
okay, it's like fair.
There are more stuff to be excited from. You know?
It's fair, but...
He may have been referring to the first time he was on a plane. Right. So no matter what the era, hey, look at this, I'm on a plane. Wow.
It was 33 years ago. It was only 33 years ago. I'm sure he was on many planes. But he was impressed. I think anybody on a plane, if they stop and think for a second that they're sitting in a chair in a metal tube flying in the air, it's pretty amazing. It's kind of hard to understand how it works. But we do. Okay. The next piece he calls Kavanat Alev Hitalut Me'al HaChomer. So as you can see, this is Leil Shabbat Kodesh, Parashat Ki Teitse. The previous one was Parashat Shoftim, right beforehand. It's actually, yeah. Okay, this is right before, this is an Erev Shabbos. So what does he say? So he quotes the Mishnah in Megillah, in Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says that when Moshe Rabbeinu put up his hands when they were fighting Amalek, so when he put up his hands, and everybody looked at his hands, he had strength and Bnei Yisrael were winning. And when his hands went down, then Bnei Yisrael were losing. Now, why did his hands go down? Because the people weren't looking at him. That's what it says. When the people were looking up towards Hashem, so his hands had strength. When people were not looking up, so then his hands did not have strength and they lost. The Mishnah continues and it says, yeah, they did the same thing with the Nechash and Nechoshet. When people would look at the Nechash and Nechoshet, they would look up to Shamayim, so then they would be healed. And when they didn't, then they would feel pain. He quotes, the reason why he mentions the Mishnah is he quotes Rav Avadya Mibar Tanura. He says, Vayak asher yari Moshe yado mishum da'ayri le'el b'kavanat ha'lev tananami lach de'it ba b'sha'a she'mechavnin liban le'mavim she'bashamayim hayu mitgabrin. So he quotes the Bar Tanura because the Bar Tanura talks about kavanat ha'lev and what he calls histaklut l'mala v'hishta'abdut ha'lev l'kadosh baruch hu. Says this is what he wants to talk about in this essay. Wants to talk about raising your eyes up and giving over your heart to Hashem. Okay, fine. That's his topic. So he says, "Bivarenu mimamara kodem anu shomim heitev ma yistaklut amala mitziut adam ba'olam agashmi hishehu tovea bivein mitzula vein ma'amad." Our existence is that we feel that we are completely held down. We have concrete feet, right? We're totally weighed down into this world. We can't even imagine not being in this world. It's everywhere in our awareness. When a person looks up, then he, even for just a second, he realizes that there's a different world, there's a different existence, there's a different thing that he can be aware of. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu resides there. So he wants to talk about that moment where a person kind of steps outside of himself and realizes that there's more than what his eyes can see. This is tefillah. Now, here I want to stop for a second and really concentrate on one point that he's making, which is critical, but something that I think people overlook. And it has to do with our perspective on tefillah. I think for most people, especially as we come up on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, this is definitely the case. When we approach tefillah, we think to ourselves, all right, I'm about to pray to God, so what do I have to think about? I have to think about, what is it that I want? Because if I'm going to pray to God, then essentially what I'm doing is, right, I'm asking him for things that I want. Now, there are some decent things that you could ask for. You could ask for health. You could ask for, the ability to live a dignified life. You can ask for help for your family, parnasa, things that you need. You can ask for the health of other people. But ultimately, we're just asking for things. And even if we went all the way to the spiritual side, you could say, I'm asking to understand the sugya. I'm asking for money so I can give tzedakah, right? You're still asking for things. And so your mind, as you enter into tefillah, is completely where? It's completely in this world. It's completely in the world of Gashmiut. Now, on one plane, this is legitimate. I mean, it seems fair. That's what tefillah is, isn't it? But Revolvi is coming from a different world, or from a different perspective at least, and there is a lot of material in this perspective. Material is, I guess, a pun in this case. A lot of literature from the Kabbalistic end of the Nefesh HaChayim, all the way to more rational ends, including Rav Volbi, because I don't think he's coming from a Kabbalistic lens over here, which says that that's not what tefillah is supposed to be. In fact, tefillah is the exact opposite. The first thing you're supposed to do before you pray is to rid yourself of all thoughts of Gashmiut, rid yourself of all the things that you might ask for, so that you can come to prayer and come to stand before the Creator of the world without any bakashot, without any requests. Because prayer is meant to be a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Prayer is meant to be an attempt to bring God down into the world. And as long as you're thinking about a Lamborghini or about doing well on an interview or about your kids, all you're thinking about all those things, you're not going to be thinking about, what God wants maybe or how we can bring God into the world. So that's kind of where Revolvi is coming from as he starts this. Okay? Does anybody have any comment about that before we continue?
Prayer is not only about requesting. There's also shevach, there's hoda'ah, as well as hoda'ah. So Rabbi Wolbe wants to make a point and focus on on request, on bakashot, that's not the entire essence of prayer.
It's not, but you know, Rav Albi does have to deal with the fact that out of the 19 brachot that we have in Shmoneh Esrei, a full 13 of them, right, are what we call bakashot. And so he would have to deal with, well, how do we work that out? Because it's clear that the core part of the Shmoneh Esrei is bakashot. So, you know, I know that I'm contradicting myself, but he does have to deal with that question. Anyways, Inyani istaklut l'malam uvor yotar b'midrash tehilim. L'David maskil. I don't know, it says Lador. This does say Lador. I'm pretty sure this says Lador, so that's a typo. Yeah. Le David Maskil. Orach Chaim Lamala Maskil. Okay. Mishuhu Mistakel Lamala Machtiv Alav. What do we say about somebody who looks upwards? Orach Chaim Lamala Maskil. He has a way of life. Imtenu Lemedim Ikan Agdarani Fala Maskil. Anu Mavinim Ki Maskil Hu Baal Seichel Baal Havana. Somebody who is enlightened. The person who's really successful in life is a person who looks upwards. He realizes that there is a level of existence beyond or above Gashmiut. הרי לא צריך למשמש לאדם בכל ענייניו, אלא התקרבות לעולם רוחני שהוא למעלה מהעולם הגשמי, זהו משכיל. Somebody who knows, interacts with, is aware of a different way of looking at the world, a more ruchni way of looking at the world, that's a maskil. Umamshich ma'amar sham, banav shel Korach, shenistaklu lamala, nimletu. The sons of Korach, when they looked up, they were saved. Right? They were going down, they were going to be swallowed up with Korach and the rest, but his sons who looked upwards, they were saved. But everybody else went down. So what do we learn from this? That just one moment of looking upwards was enough to save the Bnei Korach. Pretty amazing. And he goes on, he says, David also, he was saved like this. And you know who else was? Nebuchadnezzar, a tremendous sinner. He says, Enei L'shemaya nitlet. Mayim harishayim shehen chayavim l'kadosh baruch hu k'shemistaklin l'mala, ha-kadosh baruch hu mocha lehem, l'Yisrael shehen b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov imistaklin malkal v'malkama. David learned and he said, if sinners, great sinners, evil people, even a moment of just looking upwards and realizing that there's more to the world than what they can see, that there is a God, that can save them. So all the more so, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov, we can be saved even greater. He says it's an amazing thing. Hamistakel lemala, v'kadosh baruch hu mochel lo, v'lo rak l'sadik, ela gam l'rasha. Sh'al'idei mabat olam ruchani adam mitromem kvar kol kach mi'al hagashmiut. Even thinking a little bit about ruchniut can pull you out of the boats, can pull you out of the gashmiut, and it can get you closer to Hashem, and even can bring you back onto the path of tshuva, and bring you closer to God. Just even changing your perspective for even a moment, like right now, if all of us just think for just a moment, that even though we're all sitting here in our rooms and it's late and it's and we're tired and it's 10:30 and we have work tomorrow and our kids are sleeping finally, or most of them are sleeping finally, and you know we have to wake up early in the morning to daven and all these hard things that we have to do, but if you just stop for just one moment. And realize we were put on this earth to do Torah mitzvot. There's a whole other reality that we can't see but exists. The Kadosh Baruch Hu breathes life into us right now, this moment. He's breathing life into us. There's all kinds of forces around us that we can't see that are sustaining this world, the divine. Just think about that. For that one moment, connects you to something that's completely outside of our existence. Brings you out of the cave. Or at least it lets you know that there is something outside of the cave. All right, we'll do just a little bit more. Od zod bekavanat alev shemeshabdin liban leben liban laavin shemeshamayim. That this istaklut lamala opens up an eshnav, a vault into the world of ruchniut. Okay, let me just see. Okay, I wanted to skip past this part. Oh, here, let's do this part over here with Rabbeinu Yona. Okay. Nitgaler lanu bazeh mahalach chadash b'kavanat alei b'tfilah. We have to realize that this teaches us something about tefillah. So when we're davening tomorrow morning, we can keep this in mind. Dafka al reka advarim shenidbaru mishkia gashmiut merichuk miruchniut abarei v'navi mikan divrei Rabbeinu Yona. So he's going to quote Rabbeinu Yona. Rabbeinu Yona says the Gemara in Brachos, this is his commentary on the Gemara in Brachos, says Hagemara di yevamos hamitpalel tzarich sheiten einav lemata v'libo lemala. When a person prays, he should put his eyes down and his heart up. What does that mean? Put his eyes down, his heart up. What does that mean? That's what the Gemara says. So Rabbeinu Yona says, klamar, sheyachshov b'libo kilo omed b'shamayim, v'asir b'libo kol tanugei olam hazeh. V'chol hanaot haguf, kinyan shamu hakadmonim, k'shetirtzeh lekaven pshot hagufech me'al nishmatech. This is what we were talking about before. When a person prays, he should try to imagine himself in a world without gashmiut, and try to stop thinking about his gashmiut, try to turn off his senses and his sense of the world around him. The kamuvan, look what he says. I like the fact that he pulled back at a second. Pulled back at the end with Olbi. Kamuvan shehin kavanat Rabbeinu Yona sheitrachek miklal b'chol hanaot. It doesn't mean that we have to go away from all pleasurable things completely. Ela davka b'shata tfila nitametz shelo tiyya lehanaot v'tanugim shum chashivut b'einenu. Lo nachshov alein v'af nivatel atan l'zman tfila. At the very least, the one thing Hashem asks is, at least when you're standing in front of me in Shmona Esrei, for that one moment, stop thinking about ice cream, stop thinking about the money that you're going to make, stop thinking about the stock market, stop thinking about your job. Just for that one moment, just be with me and try to take yourself out of your body and experience something a little bit ruchani. Not all the time, not asking for it all the time, but at least b'shat ha'tfilah. Okay, we'll stop there. Next time we'll go on to the next essay. But I'm enjoying this. I don't know about all of you. It's definitely a good way to get into the right mindset for Yamim Noraim.
I like the introduction.